I'm a shepherd. Oh, you laugh. Everybody does. We're at the low end of the social scale. Poor, uneducated. The priests call us unclean, and yet they'll certainly buy the sheep we sell them. I don't know why people run away from us. They call us dishonest. They call us liars. But you know, Father Abraham was a shepherd. He fathered the whole Jewish race. And that great prophet Moses, he was a shepherd. And King David from Bethlehem, he was a shepherd too. So I don't know what the big deal is about us being so low on the pecking order. Probably not at the bottom, but pretty close to the bottom. I think tax collectors are a little bit below us. It's really kind of strange. And yet, I happen to be part of a group of shepherds that take care of very special sheep here outside of Jerusalem in Bethlehem. We take care of the temple flock. Every morning and every evening, there's a lamb that's sacrificed at the temple, and we provide that lamb every day, year in, year out. We're trained very carefully to take care of these lambs because you can't have any lamb that's been hurt or blemished or doesn't act right. It has to be a perfect sacrifice. We do that. That's our job. Years ago, when I was much younger, something happened to us that I will never forget, an incredible experience. It seems like it was only yesterday, but especially this time of year, it becomes so much more real to me again. We've told this story for years, and I want to tell it to you again right now. I think it was the Emperor Caesar Augustus. He said we had to have a census. Now, the Romans tell us that Caesar was just a great emperor. He did away with the republic and made an imperial government, whatever that means. The Romans tell us he gave us the Pax Romana, the Roman peace. Well, it's true, there aren't any wars going on right now, so that's good, but I hate being under Roman rule. So Caesar comes up with this idea about having a census. Now, why would you have a census? I'm sure the immediate thought is Caesar wanted to know how many people were in the empire. Well, the whole world was the empire, so what good does it do to know how many people it is? In a lot of countries, you had to take part of a census so that you could do military service. But we Jews are exempt from that, thank God. We don't have to serve in any Roman army. So why would Caesar want to do a census in Palestine? One word answer, taxes. We're taxed like crazy. It is such a pain to have to walk by tax collectors who are constantly asking for more taxes, and you know it ain't all going to the Roman government. You know, even 12-year-old girls have to pay taxes here in Palestine. So Caesar creates this census throughout the whole Roman world, and it affected us right here in Palestine. In fact, that year, there were people on the move all over the country. This little town of Bethlehem is just a small village, really, but it was packed with people who'd come from all over, because you had to return to where your heritage came from, to where your home was from, where your family was from. And Bethlehem was full of people. I mean, they came from all over the place. There's this little town called Nazareth, way up north. I've heard of it. It's like over three days' walk. Can you imagine what that would be like to be an old man like me and have to walk 3 days to go to Bethlehem or to be a pregnant woman? I can't imagine what that would be like. That's why I'm glad I live here in Bethlehem and I didn't have to travel anywhere, because these sheep have to be taken care of. What do you know about sheep? Do you have sheep? Our sheep, we're told, are docile. I think that's another word for stupid. They have no sense of direction. They can so easily get lost. They just wander off and get themselves in trouble. Their fleece is really thick and heavy, so it's easy to pick up burrs and briars, and they've got these long floppy ears that can get torn on thorn bushes. and pick up briars, and you're not going to sell a blemished sheep to the temple. So you got to keep watch on these animals. Speaking of sheep, you have to keep an eye on them. It had been another day of just watching sheep. I know, you think that sounds really exciting. Well, it's not. Most of us slept during the day. There was always sling competition. You know, we're pretty good with slings. David was pretty powerful. He killed Goliath with a sling. And we continue to use that tradition. You'd set up a target off in the distance, be it a rock or a tree or something, and we'd do our sling shots and see who got close enough. Most of us would try to find a little bit of shade to sleep in, because during the day we let the younger boys take care of the sheep because you could see them. It was really at night that you had to take care of the sheep, because that's why you needed the sling, because the wild animals, the bears, the wolves. I'd heard tell of lions in the past too, but never in my day. That's when they would come out, and even thieves. So you had to be very alert at night. It was one of those nights, we were just kind of sitting around watching the flocks. Some of us were drifting off to sleep. There were a few baas from the sheep, just minding our own business. And then, boom! Out of nowhere, I mean, this incredible light shone, and an angel appeared. I'd never met an angel before, but this was the first time. But afterwards, we figured that's what it was. That's who he was. This incredible, blinding light. The rabbis tell us about Moses seeing the Shekinah glory on Mount Sinai, and I have to wonder today if that's what we saw. And here's this angel appearing. We were terrified. We fell face down on the ground. We were sure we were going to die. There was no question in our minds. The hair on our necks was standing straight up. Our arms were shivering like crazy. We were in the presence of the supernatural. Oh, man. And then you know what happened? That angel talked to us. He spoke. And you know what he said? Don't be afraid. What? I'm face down on the ground. I'm going to die. And I'm not supposed to be afraid? What on earth is he talking about? He says, I bring you good news of great joy for all people. Today, a Savior has been born in Bethlehem. Well, we sure could use a Savior. Somebody to save us from this desolate life, the poverty, the sickness, the life that we had to live just to stay alive. Have somebody save us from that? That would be great. That would be awesome. But then he said something that I'll never forget. He is the Messiah, the Lord. What? The Messiah? The promised one? The anointed one? The Christ? Really? But then it was what he said right after that. The Messiah, the Lord. He used a name for God, Adonai. God is here now. God is with us. That's really hard to believe. A Savior who would do more than deliver us from the Roman rule and taxes. Maybe he'd make peace between us and God, so we wouldn't need to sacrifice these lambs anymore. And then he said something that was really strange. He said, you'll find this baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. And then you know what happened? The whole sky was filled with hundreds, tens of thousands of angels singing, glory to God in the highest, and on peace, on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. God was happy with us, and the angels were singing this. It was incredible. You have no idea. And it really, I know this was years ago, but it's so vivid in my mind. It was real. It happened. It was incredible. This blinding light, angels in the sky singing, it was fantastic. But it didn't last. After they finished singing, the angels started going up to, I guess, heaven, because that's where angels live, I think. Anyway, they disappeared, and that calm returned to those hillsides. Well, I should say calm in the skies returned, but not so much among the sheep. They were all on a tizzy, what with all the lights and the sound and everything like that. We had to calm them down. And then we started talking to ourselves, what do we do? What just happened to us? Can you believe what just happened? He told us we could find a baby, the Messiah, God with us, here. Wow. But where? If he's the Messiah, he should be born in a palace. And the palace is in Jerusalem. But the angel said he'd be wrapped in cloths, just like us peasants do. And he'd be in Bethlehem. That's not Jerusalem. That's where the royalty is. But he'd be in Bethlehem, lying in a manger, a feeding trough. That's not where royalty lies. So we left the sheep with some of the younger boys, and some of us older ones decided we'd go see if we could find this baby. We walked into Bethlehem, and we're walking through the streets, and most houses had turned their lamps out for the night. There was no light shining through or creaking through the window shutters or through the doors. And we're walking through the streets until we came upon a house where there were lights on, and there were men milling about outside. And as we walked up, another incredible thing happened. They asked us what we're doing there, and we told them a little bit of what happened to us. And they said, come, see, look. And they took us into the house, and there was a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. Incredible. We met Joseph, the father, and Mary, the mother, and learned that they had come down from Nazareth, that village way up north somewhere, weeks ago. Joseph was a carpenter. He was from the royal line of David. That's why they had to come back to Bethlehem. And Mary was from the royal line of David too. In fact, we had heard the story about an old priest and his old wife who had a miracle happen to them. She became pregnant and had a baby. I think they named him John in a nearby village not far from Bethlehem. And Mary was part of that family. We told them what we had seen, what we heard, what the angels told us. We told them that we were supposed to see, this baby is the Christ child, the Messiah, God with us, a Savior. It was really kind of strange because she and Joseph just kind of looked at each other and smiled as though they knew something that we didn't. I told you we went into a house because that's where the baby was. When people hear the word manger, they often think of a barn or a stable. Listen, we're not going to put a pregnant woman in a barn or a stable or a cave, especially when the father is from the royal line of David. Coming back to Bethlehem, he would have many homes that would open their doors to him and to his pregnant wife. We're not going to put a pregnant woman in a barn. We're not that dumb. Peasants take care of each other. But you have to understand something. Here in Palestine, most homes are constructed with two rooms. One room is a guest room, and it's kept exclusively for guests. The other room is where we live. We cook, we eat, we sleep, we live there. It's our living room. It's usually a slanted floor, and at one end of the living room is a couple feet a little lower than the rest of the living room is where we bring the animals in at night. You don't leave the animals out at night. You bring them in. So every evening, the children would bring in the donkey or the cow or the sheep that were outside during the day. Bring them in. Some of you look like that's kind of strange. Why would you live with animals? Well, let me tell you, in the winter, it's kind of nice to have animals in the same room because they warm things up a little bit. And on this main living room floor, as it angles down, slants down a little bit toward where the animals stay at night, we often dig out holes in the floor, troughs for feeding. And it was in one of those troughs that we found the baby Jesus, wrapped in cloths, lying in fresh hay, brand new, the Savior. The men were outside because they were chased away when the midwife came, when Mary went into labor. The midwife came, delivered the baby. They wrapped him in cloths, put him in a manger of fresh hay. Why? Because that guest room was already occupied. There was somebody else there. But Mary and Joseph had been welcomed in by this family, and that's where the baby was. Wrapped in cloths, just like we do with our newborns, laying in a peasant's manger, in a peasant's home, not a governor's palace. He was just like us. Makes me wonder. This is really good news. Really good news. The Savior, and Jesus was his name, and that means Savior. Jesus was born just like the angel said, for all people, including us poor, lowly, rejected shepherds. And I think he was born for the rich people too, because sometime after that, there were some magi who came from the east somewhere, and they brought some incredibly expensive gifts that they gave to this baby Jesus. So I think Jesus was born for everyone. He came to save us, all of us, rich, poor, men, women, kings, even us shepherds. I think that's what God means, that he meets us where we are, not just on holy days, but on regular days, in ordinary ways, and sometimes for us, extraordinary ways. What do? We told everybody we saw. We told the priest who scoffed at us. We told the villagers who looked at us as though we were a little funny. We told everybody we saw, and we've been doing that over these many years. But you know, this Jesus grew up and became well known all over Palestine. He did miracles. He turned water into wine. He healed people. He gave sight to the blind. He healed crippled people. He did incredible things. And his teaching was, we'd never heard anything like it before. At least that's what I'm told. I couldn't leave the sheep. But other people heard him. And they said his teaching was like they had never heard. But our religious rulers killed him. They crucified him. I wonder if that was kind of like a sacrifice. But that's not the end of the story, because even though they killed him and put him in a tomb, 3 days later, he came back to life and ascended into heaven. How incredible is that? No more incredible than coming as a baby. I never saw him again after that night. But I believe he is the Messiah, the Son of God, God with us. My life has been transformed. What about you? Is this celebration of Jesus' birth just a busy, crazy time for you? Yeah, it is. Have you stopped to consider why this baby came? I'm sure you have. He's our Savior, to save us from our sins, to give us life. It's incredible. I'm sure you've considered it. But are you doing what us shepherds have done all these years? Are you telling other people what you've experienced, why the Savior came, this Messiah, God with us? I just get excited thinking about it. I can't wait to tell other people too. You've thought about it. What are you doing about it? Are you telling others? Tell it like the shepherds do.